2 days in a row, making a record. That's two shows in a row. Back to back days.
It's not bad for a daily show.
Yeah, you know? I know. It's some sort of weekly record.
It's like the old Stephen Wright joke. You know, he goes to the 7-Eleven and it's closed, and he says, "I thought you guys were supposed to be open 24 hours." And the guy says, "Yeah, but not in a row."
That is a technicality written by a lawyer.
Anywho.
So how's your life, Paul? You're sounding very different today.
Yeah, apparently my Onyx Blackjack USB-based audio mixer has failed. So I spent 30 minutes yesterday trying to fix it before we could record Windows Weekly. So now I'm using this USB headset that I will breathe into heavily and bump into stuff. Actually, why is the microphone in front of me? I'm not even using it. Anyway, you ever do this? So you move around a little bit. Like, yep. Maybe it's different for you, but this where I'm sitting here is where I write. You know, it's the computer. So I'll bring the microphone over because I'm doing a podcast with you or Windows Weekly or Andrew or whatever it is. And then I go back to work and I'm writing, and, you know, an hour goes by or 2 hours go by. And then I realize the microphone is still right in front of me. Like, it's just been there the whole time. Like,
I just blocked it out of your mind.
Like an animal in a cage.
It's interesting, too, because, well, if the hardware broke, it broke in a matter of like an hour and a half after we finished the podcast.
That was the thing, because we had done it right. I mean, it could be anything really, right? I suppose it could be the cable. It could be the microphone. The microphone, the cable, and the audio mixer actually have all been replaced at one point.
Mm-hmm.
The years, right? Like, Leo sent me an M-Audio device, I think it was, originally. And I used that for many years. And then, you know, eventually it failed and we got this thing. And I don't know.
Well, we will find out. We will find out what the problem is. Bum, 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 bum. Sony apparently sold 3 million PlayStation VR systems. I wonder how many mixed reality headsets Microsoft has sold.
Three?
I actually have no idea. I don't even know. 3 million sounds like a lot, to be honest.
It is a lot. So I don't know that there's any data on some platform for VR or mixed reality or whatever that has sold more units or something. But there are different ways you can look at it. We know that Sony has sold about 85 million PlayStation 4 consoles. You need that console to use this device. That's a 3.5% attach rate, roughly. Doesn't sound like much, but 3 million is 3 million. And they have several hundred games and apps that run in VR, including some heavy hitters like that Biohazard game that came out recently. And honestly, once you get past controllers, what is a good attach rate in the console world, right? I mean, what kinds of peripherals are people buying? I think it's pretty good. I know it sounds low in one way, but I think this makes them one of the market leaders here, you know?
Yeah.
That is all bent on interrupting this podcast.
Yeah, well, that's, you know. This was actually just posted by somebody. It says ARM says its next processors will outperform Intel laptop chips.
Yeah, so I just queued that up. I'm going to read that when this podcast is over, but I do have a related bit of news, which is that I heard from two people close to the situation, let's say, because I had written yesterday, I think it was, about the disappointing benchmark results of the 850. That's not representative of this chip. So that is was a really early prototype device. It's not current. It's not the shipping thing. The actual results are going to be much higher than that. So I don't, if you read the story, so when they say their next chip, do they mean the 850 or do they mean the 1000?
I don't know. I believe it's like an Intel's i5 U series chip. And I think they're showing that the ARM compute is actually increasing faster than Intel. I don't know. I mean, the one thing you got to keep in mind is outperforms can be, you can distill that down. Is that battery life? Is that Wi-Fi performance? Is that
true?
Floating point calculations.
Yep. This is the game Apple used to play back when they were on PowerPC. They would talk about floating point versus integer, and you know that whatever made their chip look better was the one they wanted to highlight. I recently started using that ARM-based HP Envy, and oh my God, is it terrible! And as I was talking to Mary Jo about this yesterday, I really want this to work. I'm not coming at this from some weird pro Intel standpoint or something. Like, I really want this stuff to work. And leisurely is too polite of a word to describe how this thing operates. I mean, to give you some idea, I reset the machine and then proceeded to update it with the cumulative update, whatever it was, whatever the store apps were. That took 2 hours. I then created a restore disk or a recovery drive, I guess we call it, because I want to be able to go back to the stock image. That was something I had made a mistake on the first go round. That took 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. Like, to write to USB. So I had asked you, remember when you reviewed the Surface Go? Well, you just published your review, but when you had first gotten it, I had asked you if you wouldn't mind running that handbrake encoding test, which you did. And I think off the top of my head, it was 3.5 hours, 3 hours, 45 minutes,
About,
something
yeah,
like
about that.
that. Some horrific length of the time. I am going to run that test on this device. And next Monday when it completes, I'll let you know what the score was. But it's slow. So anyway, Intel had said, or Qualcomm had said previously, the 850 would be about 30% faster than the 835 across the board. 30% faster performance overall, 30% faster graphics. It's going to have faster LTE speeds and something else. What was the other thing that was faster? I can't remember. But I don't know. I sort of feel like 30% isn't going to cut it. So I got to go look and see what this news story is exactly, like what they're talking about. And here comes my cat. Damn cat. Stupid cat.
Maybe the cat broke the microphone.
Okay. I love you too. Could you? Okay. Yeah. I have bacon on my lips. Do you want to just
That is gross. And we're going couple
I'm just
Intel
sitting here
things
like
here,
holding a
but
piece of
so
bacon in my
Intel's
mouth.
bringing their 8th generation core chips to the NUC. But more importantly, Paul, I don't think we've talked about this because I think this happened while we were gone. Rumor on the street, based on some internal documentation that was uncovered by somebody, is that Intel's 9th generation CPUs could be unveiled on October 1st.
Yeah. So actually, this ties into the Qualcomm thing. You were saying that they were comparing whatever this chip is to a Core i5 U series, kind of a standard whatever chip. Where Intel can exceed the rest of the market, not just Qualcomm, but the AMD, whoever else, is the performance stuff. And so they can go multi-core pretty easily. They did it last year when they went quad-core across the board. Please, dear God, cat. And so this notion that they're going to add cores yet again, this is where they can go. And they're going to, this is good for them in a way because the part of the PC market that is the most lucrative, premium PCs, gaming PCs, the more expensive stuff, is where they excel. But you know what? The mainstream part of the PC is that Core i5 U series thing, right? So quad core, whatever. I mean, honestly, the vast majority of people out there, and I will include myself in this, if I pop a laptop in a bag and I go on some trip and what I need to do is browse the web and write stories, read email, and do that kind of basic productivity stuff that I would do and you would do, dual core is fine. There's no real benefit to going to a quad core. It's a free gift. It doesn't harm battery life, whatever. It's fine. But Qualcomm going for that part of the market is really smart because that's where the numbers are. And, Intel can make, jeez, I guess literally going to knock this lamp right off the table. Intel can, make more money per chip, and that's probably what the smart thing is for them. It's where they can add value. But Qualcomm, I think, has the opportunity to get to the volume part of the market. And, we'll see. Like I said, I want the Qualcomm stuff to succeed. I like the company. I like what they're doing. You can understand why Microsoft loves them. Microsoft is desperate for Windows 10 to be perceived as some kind of a mobile system. This is a mobile chipset. We'll see.
The only other thing I would point out is that if Intel is announcing new chips on October 1st, it would not surprise me if we see a whole slew of new hardware being announced around that time with those new components.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. In some ways, October 1st seems a little late, but maybe not because it really isn't, maybe the first generation of stuff, the first batch we'll see would be the more powerful machines for the holidays. And then we always see at CES, all of the mainstream PC makers kind of come out with their, the new X1 Carbon, the new XPS, the new HP Spectre slash NV slash whatever. So, and then 18 months after that, Microsoft will come out with something that has two cores and no USB ports. So, yeah, it's kind of the way the market. It's the natural ebb and flow.
Yeah, one thing I kept forgetting to put in my review is so this thing comes with USB Type-C. This is the go, which is great. I'm very happy about that. Until everything you bring with you is a Type-A connector, and then there's no way to plug it in because there's no adapter in the box.
Yeah, I just mentioned I created a recovery drive, the HP Envy X2, same situation. It has one USB-C port. Your device at least has power, right? That's separate. It's one that literally has a port. So I'm looking on both sides. There must be a second USB-C port. No. So you have to unplug the power in order to create the drive, which is fine. The thing gets like 20 hours of battery life. But then the next order of business was like, right, I need a dongle. Where are the dongles? And as it
The
turns out, I
dongle
had like
life.
50 of them, and they're in a bucket over there. But it took me a second to kind of make that like, what? Why don't I have to get a thing to do what?
Yeah. It's the right way, Paul. It's the right way. But
It's the
it's just
future.
some of us are going to have to go through the pain points. And by some of us, I mean probably everybody.
I listen, based on my experience with the Pixel 2 XL, I'm a little concerned about the quality of these ports, and maybe this is device specific. It's the one I've used the most, so I can't really say for sure, but the constant plugging and unplugging, and then just the wiggling of it. There's a lot of wiggle room on these things. You can do it with any USB-C device. It kind of moves a little bit, at least it does on my devices. You use iPhone, you know this, like Lightning cable, not only is it smaller, you plug that thing in and it's plugged in. Like there is never any question. That doesn't get loose, doesn't come out, doesn't wiggle. That thing works great. And this is, it's kind of a concern.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is, Mr. Threat. You got anything else for today?
No, I have meetings today, which is unusual for me. I have another podcast. I literally have like a 3-hour block in the afternoon. I'm going to be
Not
not
playing Call
enjoying
of Duty.
myself. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly,
It's not
exactly.
good. How about you?
I've got to do a webinar at 1 o'clock, so it could be that.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the receiving end of a webinar at noon o'clock.
All right, folks, so that wraps it up for today. We will be back tomorrow, Friday, with a live show. You can find out more at Throt.com/live. And have yourselves a wonderful Thursday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.